Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica, Mitch Albom, and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com, and my new novel for young readers, Batting Order.
And I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN, and we welcome you to the Thursday edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. We have been together in one form or another going on 3 decades, and we enjoy this time with you each Monday and Thursday. And on this particular occasion, it is the day of the NBA draft, or as Samuel Johnson once said of second marriages, the triumph of hope over experience. And but it's a strange draft, and I'll just set it up with this way. If ever a draft has been positioned for us, the media and the fans, or by the media for the fans, shall we say, as a tiered draft of a draw a line after three. One, we know who the first three picks are going to be. We know who the first pick is going to be. We're not sure about who's going to be two and three, but we know one of them who's two. But after that, oh my God, you know, so is there any interest in the draft? I'll just throw it out there, guys.
I think there is a lot of interest in the draft. I think there's always going to be interest in the draft. I think Zion just overwhelms everybody this year, even though Ja Morant probably is more NBA ready than either RJ Barrett or Zion Williamson. And you know, I mean, this is the occasion where, oh, I don't know, the Knicks take Frank Ntilikina instead of Donovan Mitchell. You know, where we go. It's so much fun going back and look at recent drafts and see who got picked ahead of whom. That will happen tonight. There's a lot of fun to this draft because there's much like Kyrie. What did Kyrie play? 9 games before he came
11,
into the end.
11 to be precise.
11 games. Okay. And the kid Darius Garland from Vanderbilt played what? 5, Bobby?
5.
So
yeah.
And he could go as high as 4 or 5 tonight.
My question, first and foremost, is with the first and foremost, Zion Williamson. I want to ask you guys about him. He's 6'6", or 6'7", depending on who you listen to, which in the NBA can be a weird height. And yet they really are talking about him as the second coming. Now, I know he's got extraordinary natural ability, you know, leaping ability to block shots even at that height from running across the court, and he's got a very good floor sense. He's an underrated passer, not a great shooter. So in a world where Markelle Fultz was a number one draft pick, is this more hype than substance, or is this kid really going to transform the league in some way, a la a LeBron James, who also had to go to a lousy franchise in Cleveland, and yet he lifted them up? Can he really do this in New Orleans?
What's interesting as you frame this is that we're talking about there's a steak, there's the sizzle in the steak, and is the sizzle overwhelming the steak with him? And that's one thing for you and me and all the fans to be overwhelmed by the sizzle. The question is, the professionals themselves, there seem to be no divergence of opinion that he is the best. He's the one to take, even though a year ago and you know, the Barrett was right on the same level in people's eyes. It is interesting, Mitch. And I think what it comes down to is that the professionals seem to think that there is a unique set of skill sets, that there's been people that a little bit of this before him, a little bit of that before him, but no one has put the whole thing, the package physically quite like this as a specimen, including his brain power. He seems to be quite intelligent and have his head in the right place with regard to the game as well. The fact is, because he is such a dazzling player, there are dollar signs in the marketer's eyes with these teams, with every team in
all
the
right.
league, too.
Okay. Zion Williams at this point, and I have grave concerns about his shooting, okay? And if you don't think shooting is important in the NBA, I refer you to Ben Simmons. Okay, here's my thing. He is a combination of hype, talent, and star quality. Okay. You can't quantify star quality. He has had it from the moment he showed up in Duke. Then he got even more of it after his sneaker exploded that night. Let me just give you some stats out of baseball right now. And you guys know who I'm going to talk about. 243 batting average, 12 home runs, 49 RBI. You know who that is? It's Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper is a combination of hype, star quality, and talent. And there may be more star quality and hype than there is talent. So could Zion be a basketball version of Bryce Harper? Yeah, it could be.
Well, there's also that Duke factor. You know, when you go and play for Duke, you look good because you're playing on a top team every single year. You just are. And when you're playing against college talent, you're going to look great because Duke looks great. But, you know, from Danny Ferry to Jay Williams and Bobby Hurley and guys like that, Trajan Langdon, and they were phenomenal college players, but you know they didn't bring that level of excellence into the NBA.
Well, wait. There's qualifiers with Jay Williams and Bobby Hurley, but they both had accidents. I mean, Bobby Hurley looked like he, in a very small sampling, looked like he was going to be a star in the NBA, and we never will know about Jay Williams.
Well, fair enough. The list goes on. I mean, you know, Cherokee Parks was a great Duke player too. You know,
Grayson Allen just got traded in the deal for Mike Conley. Yeah.
Right. Kyle Singler. I mean, I just think the guys look great at Duke for reasons. Now, there's the other thing about going to a team that's going to, I heard somebody, I think it was Chauncey Billups actually was talking about this a little earlier today, saying that when you go from college where you win everything, and high school when you win everything, to a team where you're 19 years old, turning 20 years old, and the whole league is expecting you to take over, and they're going to lose a lot of games now in New Orleans. They don't have Anthony Davis now. They're going to be a bunch of 19, 20, 21-year-old kids playing together, and it's going to take them a while. That can start to play with your head, too, because you're used to nothing but success. So I know draft night is the night to coronate, and then all the days that follow are the nights to take apart your kingdom. But I just wonder if there's not a little too much hyping about
Zion. No, I do think the hype was justified. I still think Mike Krzyzewski and everybody else is surprised that they weren't able to close the deal. But Mitch, there have been very few stars in college basketball who brought people into the tent the way this kid did last year. And again, even that crazy sneaker exploding made him bigger than ever. And I'll tell you something else I like about this kid and why I think his athletic character is going to show up in his rookie season in New Orleans. A lot of people were telling him to shut it down after he got injured, after his sneaker did explode, that he was risking too much. Well, he was risking so much that he's going to be the first name called out in Brooklyn tonight.
You know, I just think it's there's an aura of uncertainty. There's no question, Mike. Admit you guys.
Did you think that LeBron was a sure thing coming out of high school, Bob?
A lockdown slam dunk sure thing. No, I was a skeptic only because I was so put off and offended at that time by the hype and the ESPN putting his games on television in high school and the whole thing. And I said at the time, you know, pompously probably, not without precedent, I've seen every great player at the last 50 years and I'll wait. And, you know, and guess what? He turned out to be properly in the category of greatest players of all time, so a handful of greatest players of all time. I was a skeptic about LeBron. I refused to watch him until I saw him play.
Wasn't part of that because he was coming out of high school as opposed to coming out of a college program.
Yeah, but 1 year. Yeah, I know. Yes, of course it was. And
I mean, if we were talking about Zion Williamson a year ago, coming out of high school, would they be saying the same thing? And this is what I'm saying by the magnifier glass effect of Duke. You know, but LeBron James, did something. He got better, Mike and Bob. I mean, he just got better. You know, and there are guys who just get better, and there are guys who just kind of bring the talent that they have, and they kind of, that's all that they ever end up bringing to the game. LeBron James still gets better. You know, he was improving really up till last year. You could argue that there were elements of his game that he was picking up on, you know, like Larry Bird used to do all the time. This summer, I'm going to work on my left-handed jump shot, you know, right. And they would put that into their repertoire. So a lot of it depends on how much Zion Williamson wants to get better. But as you pointed out, Mike, he's got to get better at shooting to be in the NBA, and he's not going to be blocking guys' shots the way that he did in college at 6'6", because they just get him off faster, and they're bigger.
You know what's interesting, Mitch? When you look at, he's a little bigger, but the fact is, Charlie Barkley was 6'4". Okay, maybe 6'4" and a half. He was not any more than 6'5". But had that kind of, I'm not saying he was the all-around athlete that Zion Williamson is. But I can see, Bob, I can see that kind of, he's that type of player. And Barkley wasn't a great, great outside shooter, but his perimeter game was good enough, and he did so many other things well, including maybe being the greatest rebounder for somebody his height ever.
Inch for inch, I think he's...
Wasn't he?
Anybody ever, inch for inch.
I always joke with Mitch that you say that with celebrity lookalikes, there's looks-likes and there reminds you of. Right. I could see Zion being a sort of a bigger round mound of rebound.
Well, I'll tell you another thing he can do is pass, and I have in my head that famous, it's a famous already, bounce pass, 40-foot bounce pass he made on the break.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of his package. That's why I say, you know, he's just a specific set of skills unlike anything else we've ever seen. We've seen all these skills in other people and even somewhat reminiscent body types, somewhat, nothing quite like 6'7", 285, when you realize the number that blew me away, the factoid that tumbled out during the course of the season, guys, was when it turned out they said that 285, there's only one person in the league heavier than him, one of the big guys. I mean, imagine that, you know. And yet we saw how explosive and what extraordinary explosiveness he had and quick takeoff on his leaping. And, you know, it's...
I don't worry about that. But the bottom line is, Mitch, I don't worry about... I think this kid's going to be an NBA star. I do. I think the things he can't do, he can learn how to do, including shooting. Even though Ben Simmons goes against that argument, and I just think he's a spectacular basketball talent. I do.
By the way, if Ben Simmons, as we speak, and I don't care where you are listening to this,
better be
any
shooting.
Time on this earth, okay, or perhaps on the space station, if we're lucky enough to be heard up there, I don't care where you are, if when you hear this, if he isn't right now as we speak shooting jump shots under supervision, that's a disgrace. Thank you.
Well, all right, so let's pull back a little bit and look at this a little larger scale. The number 4 pick is obviously the most interesting one because it could be in play. You know, we don't know if New Orleans is going to try to package that with something else and move down, move up, get another player. There's a lot of talk about Atlanta trying to get. They've got 8 and 10. Washington, they're in an uncertain position, and they've got 9. So there's a lot of movement that's going on here. Is there any suspicion that by the end of tonight, significant players will be moved around for some of these draft picks? Or are we hearing anything that guys are potentially on the block or they're trying to clear out space? Like the Pistons ended up making a trade with Milwaukee, which was all about clearing out money from Milwaukee to try to sign some of the guys that they have. Any
suspicion? Well, the one name that was thrown around a lot, but now they're categorically, some declaring he's not going to be moved was Bradley Beal. But there's got to be a few other guys in that category. There's still people who insist that the Celtics, the Danny, because they know that Danny's MO is to be active on draft day, that the Celtics, who are starting off with the 14th pick and have 3 picks in the first round, are have lost out on
the
Celtics.
Well, talk about the Celtics for a second.
Wait. Even though we know who the top 3 players are going to be in this draft, okay, we haven't talked about them, and the kid from Murray State, Ja Morant, he might be the most NBA ready of anybody.
Very, very, very possibly. And once again,
a point guard, a talented shooting point guard in a point guard league. And I was going to ask both you and Bob this, Mitch. Who is RJ Barrett? Give me a reminds you of player for RJ Barrett, because I'm not sure who he is.
He's 6'7". He plays forward. He obviously, there were a lot of people at the beginning of the year who thought that he would end up being the number one pick. He averaged 22 points. Again, playing for Duke, I don't know exactly what that means. You know, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He's at that height. I don't know. Is he playing a swing position? It really, I should pull back and say that just doesn't really matter anymore what position anybody plays. And Zion Williamson probably blows that up more than anybody, because he literally can guard anybody on the team. You put him up against your center if you have to, and you know, he's quick enough that he can switch over and take a point guard.
It's the old John Calipari line about Marcus Camby. What's his position? His position is basketball player.
Yeah. We've
been heading to this for quite a while, and we are here now. The idea of the relatively positionless players, and I'll repeat what Brad Stevens said 2 years ago, and who knows who told it to him, but there are basically three kinds of players now in the league. You've got the ball handler, the wings, and the generic bigs, and that's where we are. Forget about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Forget about point guard and shooting guard and small forward and power forward and center. And the center position has been almost rendered extinct, which is, we can get to that little later on with regard to, is anybody going to draft Bol Bol, but or Taco Fall for that matter. But it's
say Bol Bol again. I like it when you say Bol Bol.
Yeah. By the way, I'm throwing this out there just because, even though I don't even have a full picture of his nature of his game, but the answer to your question, no. How about Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, if he is a frame of reference for anything, it speaks to the precarious nature of the drafts, and certainly he was not regarded coming out of Louisville.
Wasn't discussed like that as
a premier. He's a premier player.
Hey, by the way, RJ Barrett, Mitch, let's face it, maybe it's just a good time to be Canadian when it comes to basketball. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he's just caught up in all the good karma of Canadian basketball in the shadow of the Raptors winning the championship.
Well, if that works for you, yeah. I'm hesitant to spend a lot of time on projecting where these guys are going to be. I think so much of it depends on what team you go to, what coach you get. If Magic Johnson went someplace other than the Lakers, it would have taken him a little longer to become the star that he did, other than his rookie year. If Larry Bird doesn't go to the Celtics, it could have been a different story. A lot of it is where you end up and who starts to mentor you, who you have to play alongside. Some of that's still up in the air now. I mean, the NBA is such a fluid league right now. Talk about Memphis, who's going to probably pick Morant. They just traded away a star player for them, and so I don't know. I don't think you can predict, can you?
They just traded away Mitch. They traded away a talented player who, and nothing against him, I loved him in college. Bob, is there a more overpaid player in the National Basketball Association than Michael Maxed Out Conley? Nobody.
Never been in an All-Star game. And am I correct? I believe I'm correct about that.
And he makes $30 million a year or something?
Yeah it's million. Mitch, it's crazy. It's
wonderful country in that regard, folks. A wonderful country, and no question. But they've opened up a job. Obviously, they're going to take Morant because they just traded away Conley. So that kind of settles that. And the Knicks are going to get Barrett unless they choose, unless there's a deal for them, But the deal, the answer, there's going to be some movement. There's no doubt, in my mind. Not the slightest
doubt. The Celtics get in play, Bob? Because, boy, oh, boy, has there been a reversal of fortune in Boston, Massachusetts when it comes to the National Basketball Association.
Well, it's obviously it's not the fix. We go back a year ago, and, this whole thing has turned around. I'll say this. Buyer beware, whoever gets Kyrie Irving, buyer beware. No, seriously, he's a whack job. He's never going to be happy. He doesn't even know what he wants. Be careful. Al Horford is apparently going to leave, and I have no ill will toward Al Horford. Whatever Al is best for Al, he's a great wonderful team player and a good guy.
What's the reason he wants to leave?
I don't know. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed, but I'm not stunned or shocked. I'm disappointed, and I wish him well. But Anthony Davis was never coming here. So people shouldn't be including that in their woes. They weren't going to get him.
So who are the Celtics right now?
Well, they still have
Jason Tatum's
team? They got Tatum, Brown, Smart. And Hayward, who is going to come back and be an all-star. I'm going to categorically state that right now. He's going to come back, and he's going to be fine next year. And they're going to be still, there's still a lot of.
So they got those four, and they have four draft picks, 14, 20, 22, and 51 tonight.
Yeah.
So, is the approach like, okay, we got those four, let's get three, at 14, 20, 22, let's get three young guys to play with them, or to package those picks together and go get an established player?
Well, I think Danny's, first of all, how enticing are they really, beyond 14, 20 and 20 and 22 and then 51? I mean, there's how, in any given year, it fluctuates depending on the depth of the draft, and I don't know how enticing that is. I think that would be Danny's first preference, but I don't know that he's going to be able to pull anything like that off. And they very well might have room for the three young players, and whoever 51 is might be what they call draft and stash, and somewhere. So I don't know. But right, Mike, it is a different feel and outlook. A year ago, they looked like they were going to verge of being of a long-term greatness.
They were dealing from strength, Bob, and all of a sudden, they're another NBA team scrambling. That's what it looks like to me from the outside.
And there's the moral of the story was this whole implosion, if you will, this whole deterioration, this whole unfulfillment. Unfulfillment has nothing to do with raw talent. It has to do with mesh and attitudes, because it wasn't about talent. It was about the fact that the talent couldn't get it together. They couldn't fit together. They couldn't play together. Whether it was Kyrie and his interaction with the youngins young forwards didn't quite interact well with living some playing time to with Hayward. Whether it was Rozier, who prominently and pouted all year about losing his playing time, even though he couldn't adjust. That's another big one, guys. Let's say that they keep basically the status quo of that core I mentioned, those four guys, and then can they get Rozier back where he was a year ago? Can they reel him in? The guy that they had a year ago in the playoffs.
But he gets better as soon as Kyrie is officially out the door.
Averaged 16 points a game and in the playoffs and was a happy camper, and it is a good defensive player. You can win a lot of games with Terry Rozier. And I would like to think that once, now that Kyrie's going to go, Rozier can come back and pick up.
Can I ask Mitch Albom a question? Can I ask Mitch Albom a question?
Sure.
Because I'm scrolling down through the picks of the first round and looking at the mock drafts today, Mitch. Where'd the Pistons go? Who did they trade their pick for?
They didn't trade their pick. They got an extra pick. So now they have 15 and 30. And they picked up a Milwaukee player who was a bench player. Maybe an all right shooter, but they didn't trade their pick. They still have the 15th pick. But I want to point out something with regard to the Pistons, and that's just illuminating for people who are listening to us about this draft. Joe Dumars was a very smart executive. In 2004, the team that he assembled with a lot of cast-offs, a lot of guys who were not hardly stars, from Rip Hamilton to Chauncey Billups and Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace and the others, they won a championship in 2004. Probably should have won two. The year before they won that championship, with the second pick in the draft, right after a guy named LeBron James went to Cleveland, Joe Dumars took Darko Milicic.
Yeah.
He took Darko Milicic. Now, I was with Joe during that time. He had gotten incredible intelligence on this kid, how good he was in Europe. He was this amazing, 7-foot guy with guard-like skills. He was going to astound everybody. He didn't. Carmelo Anthony was picked right after him. Chris Bosh was picked right after him. And Dwayne Wade was picked right after him. All three of those guys went on to have far, far, far better careers than Darko Milicic. And this was a really smart executive, Joe Dumars, who never lived that down. never lived that down. That hung on him for the rest of his career, because how often does a good team get a number two pick? My point is, there are a lot of smart executives out there right now, and there are a lot of guys who are getting intelligence reports like he got on Darko Milicic right now on some of the guys we're mentioning. They're going to make mistakes. You know, look at Fultz and Lonzo Ball. Remember, you know, it was only a couple years ago that it was going on and on about it, how each one of them could transform a franchise. Well, Fultz is, I don't know if he's ever going to be a basketball player. And Lonzo Ball's just been traded to go someplace else in New Orleans. So that's how exact a science this is.
Well,
how
about Joe, and Mitch, here's the thing about Darko. I'm not sure, even looking back now, how much did he actually see him play basketball games? I think he went off a lot of intel on this kid.
And he went over. He went over and watched him play. I know that for a fact. Went over and watched him play. A lot of people went over and watched him play. It was not considered a crazy move at the time. He was very highly ranked. And, you know, how often are you going to get a guy of that height? But it was a mistake. And, so sometimes you don't live down those mistakes. And sometimes, you know, they end up getting you fired. As I say, they ended up winning a championship the following year with Milicic was just a kid. He wasn't even a part of it. But you make those kind of mistakes, it can hurt your franchise for a long time.
Gentlemen, the reigning king of basketball, the reticent king of basketball, Mr. Kawhi Leonard, was the 15th pick of his draft and was, in fact, involved in a draft night trade. It just totally proves, you know, the inexact science nature, the phrase they've oft used, but always accurate description of all drafts, whether it be they basketball, football, baseball, or hockey.
By the way, Mike, the guy that the Pistons got was Tony Snell. He's a guard. That's who they got. It was a he was too expensive. Milwaukee traded him, and the Pistons took their 30th pick as well. So now they have 15, 30, and Snell.
There was a wonderful story in the New York Times, recently, about the curious sinkhole, which is the number two pick in the draft, and the incredible history of flops.
Oh, yeah.
At number two.
It's true.
The sheer staggering nature of it. It was a wonderful premise.
Wow.
I would like to salute the author if I can remember who it was.
Let me give you a quick quiz, Mitch. Do you know who the second play when the Suns lost the coin flip, because they flipped a coin in those days, and the Bucks got Kareem. Do you know who the second pick in that draft was? Neil Walk.
Well, you know, he's a lot better. He had a better career, Mike, than an awful lot of other number twos of the 21st century. I'll tell you that. That's how bad it's been.
I'm not saying Neil Walk was Ryan Leaf, but that's to Mitch. That's who the
Neil
second
Walk.
Pick was that year.
Out of Florida.
And the Bucks, remember, they win the championship in the second year of Kareem.
But somebody
He was still Lou Alcindor.
Will be a Kawhi in this
or
draft.
Donovan
Mitchell. Okay.
Or Tony Parker. Someone's out there. That is right.
And I hope it's a team like the Pistons, because the Pistons are in that death spot in the NBA. Okay. They're just good enough to make the playoffs, but they're not bad enough to get a high draft. You get stuck in that middle, Mitch, and you can spend a decade or more there.
The thing that sticks you there the most is the salaries that you're paying out, and they are paying out a fortune to Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, and so that's what holds you there. It's like a thumbtack that goes through you, and you're stuck up on a bulletin board, and you just can't get off, you know. And no matter what happens, because it's piercing you, and that's why I say executives, you know, get fired over things like this, and get fired over draft picks. And as you point out, you know, that there will be a Kawhi Leonard in this draft somewhere down there. There'll also be a Joe Smith or a Kwame Brown or whatever. You know, guys who are way too highly picked for what they end up doing in the game.
No question.
Brian and I are just hoping that it's listed, Mitch, is starting at 7. Is that right, Mr. Ryan?
It's starting at 7, and
We think the first name is going to be called at 7, or are they going to have like an hour of pundits punditing?
God. I hope it's
How much time do they give between picks?
Oh God! Is it oh,
at
God,
this stage,
you know what?
Five,
only
right?
Woj, only Woj knows that, Mitch.
It's either 10 or 15. Those are the magic numbers.
That's football, round five. I
can't imagine they do that.
Three, only two rounds. God, you know, it's only two rounds. There used to be No, used to be really fun.
All right. Meanwhile, any more sense on where the established names are going to end up? Does Horford throwing his name out there change anything? The Lakers seem to be desperately trying to. Mike and I talked about this the other day. Their cap room is technically like about $24 million, and they're desperately trying to like shed. I mean, they're literally going to get rid of the few guys they have left on their team.
Mitch, they're going to
three.
If they do what they need to do, they will have three players.
They'll have three players on their actual team, and then go out and if so, are they? I mean, are they going to use that 32 on another star player to try to get to play with them, and then say we'll just pick up a bunch of also rans and late round the second round draft picks, which apparently is what they're trying to trade for also to because you know they're going to have the lowest kind of salaries, and it'll be LeBron and Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma and one other superstar, and if so, who's that going to be?
You know, if you go back 10 years or 11 years to the fateful night when the Celtics picked up on the same night Ray Allen and Garnett, they were only able to get Garnett because they had Ray Allen. They got Ray Allen. I scoffed at the idea that they were automatically going to win because they had this big three. Turns out they did win that year ultimately, but they did pick up these kind of guys. Now, are these guys the kind of category that you're talking about, Mitch, or they're a little bit better? But they picked up the likes of James Posey, Eddie House, and ultimately P.J. Brown as a final piece of the puzzle after the All-Star break. And they won with the big three. Now, they had Rondo, who by that point had made himself a three and a half, at least. He was when they still liked Rondo, when people still liked Rondo. But I don't know. I mean, you can argue that that's what the Celtics did, but I think they picked up some important players.
Let me ask you, Mr. Basketball, in 2020, when they would have to win the title, if you have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma, and Kyrie Irving, let's say, okay, mm-hmm. I'm trying to move the positions mm-hmm. around, all mm-hmm. right, and then you fill out your roster. The other seven or eight players are whoever you can get. Whoever you can get, an old guy who's on the end of a contract, a bunch of young kids or whatever. Can you win?
Yes. Yeah. I think you can. I think you can. I think, one of the things I always say, one of those guys that got to be a shooter. Somebody that can come off the bench when you're...
All right, I got it. Let me give you two names instead of going for the big superstar, Bob and Mitch. Al Horford and J.J. Redick. Would you, if you could plug both of them into the Lakers?
Al Horford, I don't care what your composition of your roster is and what you think it is, Al Horford makes you better.
Right.
Al Horford enhances you in so many ways and on and off.
So does JJ. Don't you think JJ does too?
I don't have anything against him. I just still regard him as a great shooter, period, but which is a very, very valued skill in this league. Al just brings you so many things. If they can get Al Horford, then...
Well, why
then
couldn't I'm, they get I'm, Al I'm Horford? What's
well,
stopping
I mean,
them?
If he wants to go there, he's free. He's a free man.
I mean, who
he's
doesn't
gonna,
want
he's gonna
to
opt out of the Celtics?
How many people say, I don't want to go to the Lakers?
How about Kemba and Al Horford if they can clear the cap space?
Oh,
how about
brother.
That?
Oh, man.
Can they get both of them? No, they have to give Kemba max deal, though, don't they?
No, I don't think they have the money for both.
No.
And Kemba Walker is a bit of a mystery. You know, he seems to indicate that he wants to stay where he is.
Mitch and I were talking about this the other day. You think Kemba's agent was happy when he said he'd take less money to stay in Charlotte?
Oh,
you think that made him whistling that day?
Made his day, all right. Oh, yeah. They all love that.
Well, one thing's for sure, by the weekend, there'll be interesting composition of this. And the timing on this, the July 6th deadline is coming up in a few weeks. And so this is all going to happen. I mean, the league is going to transform. We still have to see if indeed the two injured Golden State players sign max deals with Golden State, or someone basically puts a big part of their team on hold for next year by signing either one of those guys away, and then says, "Okay, we have him." The good news is we have him. It's like the movie business. The good news is we just signed, Tom Hanks to be in the movie. The bad news is he can't start filming until 2023 because he's got all these other projects. Well, it's the same kind of thing going on with those two.
Do we all agree that, and it's been discussed in football, that it makes far more sense to have free agency first and the draft second?
Oh, that's a good question.
It would make more sense. Really, but I think the team should know what their situation is a little more clarified before draft. I think it makes far more sense.
I think it does.
Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full, and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place. So HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
All right, listen, moving on. Let's move to the national pastime because it's a very interesting season. If somebody, Mitch, if somebody told you before the year that the Yankees were going to have 20 guys on the injured list and that Aaron Judge would play like 20 games so far and Giancarlo Stanton would have played three before he came back this week, would you have believed it were possible that going into a big Yankee Stadium series between the Astros and the Yankees, that the Astros and the Yankees would basically have the same record? They do. 46-27 for the Yankees, 48-27 for the Astros.
No, it's what the Yankees have done is just astounding. And the only thing that remains to be seen is when these guys get healthy, do they actually have a fallback? You know, sometimes we've seen that happen where the chemistry, whatever it is that's working for the injured Yankees, has to work for the healthy Yankees, you know, and it's not always the case because there's still the same number of positions and the chemistry has to change. And so, you know, you're closer to it than I am, Mike, but is there something going on there that almost makes you bite your fingernails if you're a Yankees fan about everybody getting healthy again and coming back?
No, I just think that they had a lot of irregulars ready to step in. DJ LeMahieu, he's a former batting champ. So they knew they were getting a very solid big league player. I think he's even exceeded expectations. Gia Urshela, who I don't even think will be on the team next year, stepped in at third base. And there was a point, Mitch, where he's hitting like 340. This is a guy that the Blue Jays and the Indians didn't want. So it's gone on and on and on. The only concern I have about the Yankees, and I know that they're still striking out even with those guys the way they did a year ago, there is much a feast or famine team as ever. Stanton struck out 211 times last year to hit 38 home runs. Even Judge, who I love as a player, as a fielder, and everything, he played 112 games last year, Mitch. He struck out 152 times. They've now added Eddie Encarnacion, who's leading the American League.
Right.
But I just think that big swing miss teams, it catches up with you in the postseason, and it will be interesting to see if the Yankees, because they're clearly, Mitch and Bob, they're making a bet that they can bludgeon you and relief pitch you to the World Series.
Well, Mike, I thought it was something of an assumption that by July 31st or on July 31st, they will make a move for a starter.
Oh, they'll get a starter. Bob, knowing the Yankees being the Yankees, and there's nothing more entertaining than watching the Yankees be the Yankees, okay? They'll probably get two starting pitchers. No. But Mitch and I talked about this the other day. Of all the names you're hearing, Bauer and Bumgarner and all those guys, okay, Stroman, there's one guy. There's one guy. We don't know whether he's going to be moved. And we didn't even know, Mitch, we really didn't know that the Tigers were going to move Verlander until, what, 5 minutes to midnight at the end of July that year? So if Max Scherzer's in play, Bob, he is the game changer because the Yankees are still kicking themselves that they didn't get into play with Verlander and the Astros just swooped in and got him.
By the way, as an aside, and I'm going to say I'm convinced now. I was holding out on CC someday needing the need to prepare an acceptance speech on a sweltering Sunday in July in Cooperstown, New York. But when I find out, by the way, that with this victory yesterday, he has 250 wins and 3,000 strikeouts, and that the only person who has ever accomplished that who did not need to make an acceptance speech on a sweltering July Sunday in Cooperstown, New York.
Roger Clemens.
Was Roger Clemens.
No, CC. But Bob, have you had any doubts that CC was a Hall of Famer? I mean, I
don't know. Mike,
his bona fides to
Mike,
me were, have
I,
been in place
I
for a while.
I gotta admit, there was a hole in my soul there, and I know he's a good guy, and I wish he were batting too.
Hey, Mitch, how about your adopted team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, being 50-25? And trying not to be the Buffalo Bills of Major League Baseball at this time. For them to come back from losing, Mitch, for them to come back from losing another World Series and play like what they have been, which is the best team in baseball, that's been really fun to watch.
Yeah, well, they're excellence. I mean, Cody Bellinger, he's a force of nature right now. And, I was one of those people who said, you can only go to the well so many times, and you can only, put up your star players to say, now here's the reason. We got Clayton Kershaw. He's the reason we're going to win. Oops, we don't win. So many times before you start to, tuck your tail a little bit. And instead, they're acting like, okay, clean slate. They're the ultimate, wash down the blackboard, start all over again team. And as you point out, Buffalo, very aptly, the Buffalo Bills did that season after season two. And then you got to the postseason and you had these same issues. But, they're doing it with different guys, showing that kind of excellence, like Bellinger and Muncy, and they don't have the same muscle memory. It's not the same as Jim Kelly, going back over and over again. So yeah, I think they're just taking a different approach to it.
Blinders on is what Dave Roberts. That's what he told me in spring training. I've been kind of writing a column every few weeks because I think they are such a fascinating story. All right, Mitch, your guy Bellinger. You ready? 72 games, okay, 24 home runs, 60 RBIs. He only struck out 45 times, hitting .359, on-base percentage .455, slugging .710, OPS 1.165. Guys, do you think that's a pretty good, as they say, slash line?
Not bad.
That's Bonzian slash line.
And by the way, Mitch, we've talked about this before, and what makes it more impressive? And I think we might have talked about this, if not last week, then the week before. He killed him in the World Series. He was 1-16 in the World Series. He was 1-16, and I think it was a single.
Yeah, well, that may be why he's doing as well as he is, And meanwhile, over on the American League side, Mike Trout for all the money and all the rest of it, and who was getting what of Bryce Harper, and come play with me in Philadelphia and all the rest of it. Mike Trout just quietly goes about. I mean, he's the MVP of the first half of the season, without a whole lot of competition, and he just goes about his business and hits around 300. He's got 22 homers already, 56 RBIs. He's just
had a fair night last night, by the way. Drove in 7.
Yeah,
kind of got a wingman again, too, Mitch. Kind of got, we talk about how things have changed in a year. He kind of slipped back in, as I call him, the Shohei kid. Otani has hit like, Mitch, he's hit like crazy since he came back.
He's hit so well, you forget that he pitches.
Right. And Bob, I don't even know, Mitch and Bob, is he not going to pitch this year?
He's not going to pitch. He's just going to hit. And meanwhile,
he's just tearing it up, even though they
lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, attention should be given to the Twins and what they've done as well. And something was pointed out to me the other day or yesterday was that, why keep an eye on them? Because he'll be active trading too at the trading deadline if he needs
Minnesota.
To be. And but the Twins
pitched better than anybody. Listen, nobody knew they were going to mash like this, Mitch and Bob.
My God,
but they have mashed beyond anybody's expectations. But the pitching, which has always been a big bugaboo, even when the Twins have been, were one of those playoffs teams that would just not want to come out of the clubhouse against the Yankees in October. They pitched pretty well. I think they will be in play for one of these starters that whose name you keep hear bandied about.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have the Pangeis back. You know, and everybody loves the ballpark, by the way.
I love the ballpark.
I haven't had the privilege of going there yet, but I'm definitely going to do that. But you got to give them credit. You got to and Rocco, huh? How about the youngest manager in baseball,
Rocco
Baldelli, whose career was cut short by injury, but who's he's a very interesting the story there. But what interesting series they just had with the Red Sox, because sandwiched first 17 inning game, a couple of low run games, and last night the Red Sox exploded the business.
You know, Mitch, you brought up Trout, okay? And I have, who knows, there's so much time. The Angels are absolutely record wise. For the second wild card right now in the American League, there's the Indians, there's the Rangers, the A's. The Angels are not like crazy out of it. And we talk about this all the time. It's nuts that Mike Trout has only played 3 playoff games in his career. It's crazy. It really would be like LeBron never making the playoffs.
Well, there are players like that in all sports who have regular season excellence and just cannot lift the entire team by themselves and don't get Barry Sanderses and Archie Mannings and
Ernie
guys like that.
Ernie Banks
in baseball. So
Kaline was like that till 68. Yeah. Kaline was like that.
And you got to hope that doesn't happen for Chuck because he's just too good to be absent.
Oh, man, it's a shame that he never gets the big stage. And we talked about this at the time, Mitch. He plays as big a bet financially as the Angels placed on him. He placed a pretty big bet on them to figure it out during his prime.
Yeah, I cannot imagine, and nobody really knows the mind of Mike Trout because he keeps it pretty quiet and good for him, but I cannot imagine just the profile that he affects and the total love of baseball, total immersion in baseball that he affects. I cannot imagine that he's a guy who says, well, as long as I go out and do my best and I have good performances, that's all I can ask for. And if my team, if they surround me with talent, okay, but if not, I'll just do. I have to think it burns at him not to be in these postseasons, right?
Mitch, how can it not, Mitch?
And yet he signed back there without hesitation. I mean, it wasn't like, let me see, if the Red Sox, Yankees, teams that are perennially there are interested in me. He just showed no interest.
Remember the scene from Heaven Can Wait, Mitch, when the Warren Beatty character buys the team and the old owner is saying, those sons of bitches. I asked for $65 million and they gave it to me.
those bastards.
Yeah.
Well, he also said at the very beginning when he said, so what do you think the team's chances are? He says, chances? We're going to the Super Bowl. No, really, off the record? We're going to the Super Bowl, so you have to have that's what Mike Trout apparently is. He says he apparently thinks that they're going to get it figured out in California. Everybody's got a to-do list: drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea: let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is, you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You got extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do that you do today.
It is time for our parting shots on this edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast, and I think Mr. Ryan is going to lead off today.
Now, parting shots.
You know, guys, who among us didn't enjoy watching Zion Williamson play basketball this past winter? There's so much to like about the young man who will be the number one pick of the 2019 NBA draft. But what's really encouraging about him is his perspective. He says he won't try to be the next LeBron, Michael, or anyone else. He has his own specific set of skills, and that's what matters. I just try to be the best version of myself that I can be, unquote, he says. Sounds simple, right? Well, living this out won't be easy because of, us. And by us, I mean both the fans and media, who usually cannot restrain ourselves from comparing everyone to everyone, usually with the unstated goal of diminishing the latest sensation.
Right.
The truth is, all truly great players are unique in style and ability. When we say there has never been anyone quite like Bill Russell, it's true. Wilt and Shaq, yeah, they had similarities, but they certainly weren't the same. LeBron is not Michael. So let us sit back and enjoy the Zion show, however it materializes.
Now, they won't lose their minds over the players drafted into this NBA draft tonight the way they do in the NFL. They just won't. As popular as the NBA is right now, and it's right now it feels like it's never been more popular, it's still not the NFL and never will be. But as you watch all the predictable hype and glory associated with the draft, just remember where we were 1 year ago before Zion had played a minute of college basketball. The first player taken in the 18 draft was DeAndre Ayton. He went to the Suns, and I want to know how much time you've spent thinking about him over the past 12 months. The second player taken, out of Duke and by the Kings, was Marvin Bagley. He's a very nice player, young Mr. Bagley is. He played 62 games for the Kings, averaged a tick under 15 points and 7.6 rebounds. But how much time have you spent thinking about Marvin since he was the second player taken in the last NBA draft? The answer is this, not much, because Bagley's team wasn't much and Ayton's was even less than that. So when all the pundits are punditing about Zion and Ja and RJ tonight in Brooklyn, it's worth wondering where they'll all be in a year. And I'm not just talking New Orleans, Memphis, and Madison Square Garden.
LeVar Ball has proven that the only thing he's afraid of is losing a microphone. Well, his worst fears may have just come to pass. Reports now say that Ball is being banned from ESPN after making a comment to a female ESPN host who said to him, "Let's switch gears," at which point he said, "You can switch gears with me anytime." Now, whether that comment really warrants a ban for sexism is potentially debatable, but frankly, barring LeVar Ball from TV doesn't need a holy defense. It's for the public good. Anything that gets him off the tube would be welcome. Besides, despite Ball's claim that he wasn't being sexual in his comment, this is the same guy who told a female ref to, quote, "stay in your lane," and then said those same words to a female TV announcer 2 years ago. Why that didn't get him tossed is a good question. But back then, he was a father of the second pick in the draft, who Magic Johnson and others declared was a Laker Hall of Famer in the making. Today, Lonzo Ball plays for the Pelicans. Nobody in L.A. is interested in Big Ball or Brand, and LeVar Ball doesn't command the fascination he once did. So just as tax evasion brought down Al Capone, if this particular comment, out of all the ridiculous, insulting, and outrageous claims LeVar Ball has made, is the one that pulls the mic, so be it. You know what sound LeVar Ball just heard? The sound of his 15 minutes being up. That's going to do it for us here on the Sports Reporters Podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday, so we'll be back on Monday to wrap up the big weekend in sports. If you like what you heard, please leave us a comment. We always enjoy reading those, and you can get this wherever you get any of the popular podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and all the rest of the platforms. Until we see you on Monday, on behalf of Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan, this is Mitch Albom saying, have a great weekend.